give yourself to the dark side. You don't know the power of the dark side. It is your destiny.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo, and tonight, that's what we're talking about. No, not Darth Vader, but we're talking a little bit about the dark side. Everyday evil, the evil that confronts us every day in our culture. Of course, a lot of people are obsessed with evil right now as we lead up to the big holiday known as Halloween, the number two commercial holiday on the calendar year, the only holiday that's bigger commercially is Christmas. And tonight we have a very, very special guest, Steve Russo, who's going to talk with us a little bit about everyday evil and even how that relates to the holiday that's coming up. Steve Russo, a guy who has written a lot of books, his most recent one, Fear No Evil. You know, he also put out a book about Wicca just recently. I think it was just last year that book came out. And he's a guy who goes all over the nation talking with teenagers and college students, encouraging them as an apologist. And he also plays the drums. And so he's a man of many, many talents. It's a special honor for me to have him on tonight's show. Steve Russo, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Hey, yo, thanks for having me, man. This is awesome. I've been looking forward to our time tonight.
I have as well, and I'm just so glad I get a chance to have you on the program. When I first started in radio, I started by editing and uploading your Real Answers program onto the station. And so back in my early radio days, I spent a lot of time listening to you talk about various topics. So all these years later, it's nice to have you here to talk in person with.
Man, you're a glutton for punishment. That wasn't enough. Dude, that's cool. That's really cool. I didn't know you were doing that. Thanks for your help back then, man.
Well, it was my pleasure, and it's nice to have you on tonight's program. And I just want to encourage our listeners, this is a real special opportunity. So if you got questions about the occult, about evil, about Wicca, about any Halloween, Steve Russo is a great guy to ask those questions. And so give us a call, 505-338-5790, as we go through tonight's program. Any question that might occur to you as we talk tonight, this is a really good opportunity to get those questions answered. There's few people who can articulate on these issues quite as well as Steve Russo. So 505-338-5790 as we talk tonight. Now, Steve, before the program, I was talking with you how last week we did a program about Halloween. You know, that's one of those holidays that gets a lot of Christians in a panic. You know, what do we do with this holiday? And so we covered all that last week. But there was a lot of issues that came up in that conversation that had me really stoked to have you on tonight so we can go into detail with that a little bit more. And, of course, one of the topics that always comes up around Halloween time is our fascination with evil. So let's clear this up right away. Why are we so fascinated with evil, even as Christians? I even confess that sometimes I'm a little curious. I just want to know. I was like, yeah, I don't want to do anything about it, but what is it all about? And I can think of a few times where maybe I read something I probably shouldn't have just because that curiosity got the best of me. So what is the deal? Why are we so fascinated with evil?
You know, there's something inside each one of us that says, it's like, you know, when you see a sign that says don't touch.
Mm.
I mean, there's something inside of us that just begs us to touch. Just because we've got to go over the edge, just, and that sounds so ridiculous, but it's like we've got to reach out. It's like trying to see how close we can get to a fire without getting burned. and evil has this built-in intrigue. There's this darkness. There's this just this intrigue, and I think the biggest thing about evil, why we seem to want to explore it, is it represents power.
Mm-hmm.
So many people today are looking for power. You know, whether it's a student, whether it's an adult, people are feeling just disillusioned. They're feeling kind of hopeless. They're feeling, you know, they want power to feel special, power sometimes to get vengeance on people that have hurt them, power to get things like relationships or bling or whatever it happens to be, they want power. And evil has that, it's got that seductive, taste test, if you will, have that's like, okay, there's some power here. I wonder if it really works. I wonder how big this power really is. And I think in part you mix all of that together with the fact that we've become desensitized to evil in our culture.
And it occurs to me, especially as I was reading through your book, Fear No Evil, you talked a lot about how that is one of the main allures of evil, is that idea of power. And it occurs to me that Satan's concept and idea of power is so opposite of what we read about in the Bible when it comes to power. And you can certainly see where some people might get disillusioned or even confused when they see, how God operates in power through humility, through love, through service, all those types of things. They don't really seem all that powerful. And then you look at, evil, and it seems very powerful on the surface. But once you dig a little bit deeper, you realize it's all bluster and there's not a lot of substance to it.
See, you've nailed it right there, because it's if you put the two side by side, okay, with God, it's all about surrender. John 15:5 says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But yet Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So that's where our power is. But there is that flesh, that humanness of us, there's that sinful nature that says, okay, I'm going to rebel against God. I don't want to surrender. I want to control. And Satan's offer of power is all about control. And just something to go out to our listeners tonight, don't kid yourself. Satan does have power, but his power is limited. He can only do and go and as much as God will allow him. You could say that he has he's got walls and a floor and a ceiling. I think Job is a great example there, because Satan has the audacity to go before God and say, "Look, I want a piece of your servant Job. I mean, this guy's a phony. You start making stuff hard for him. We're going to see what he's really made of." And you notice how God says you can do this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
So there are limitations, and we need to remember that. But we also need to remember that the power we need, the power that we want to live the kind of life that we were designed to live, is only found in Christ.
It seems that the fascination with evil really reaches its peak. It's got the greatest fervor right around this time of year, and it's often treated as just fun and games. Why don't you toss in your two cents about this whole Halloween issue and how everyone, they're all out to scare each other, outdo each other with, the gore and the all the stuff that goes on with Halloween and people's fascination with it. It's all in good fun. How do you feel about that attitude when Halloween rolls around?
I did a book, on Halloween several years ago. In fact, I'm hoping to get the publisher to let me revise it, because there's so many new things I want to put in and all. And I am not a big one on celebrating what Halloween has come to represent today,
mm-hmm.
because Halloween has become so dark. I mean, years ago, 20, 30 years ago, Halloween was mainly a kid's holiday. It was all about getting candy. It was all about going door to door and, see if you can get more candy than your brother and sister. And, you hide the candy, you protect that candy because that is your hoard. That's really what it was all about,
uh-huh.
And actually, prior to that, going back to the 1930s, Halloween was mainly a prank day, when you're going to go out and play tricks on people, pranks on people, and it got out of control. And it's interesting, because this started on the East Coast, I believe in Jersey, where some civic leaders and some religious leaders and business leaders got together and said, "Look, this thing's out of control. The pranks are becoming very destructive. Let's do something fun for kids. Not as destructive." So that's really where modern-day trick-or-treat came up. And the idea was, you're going to go bang on your neighbor's door and, say, "If you don't give me a treat, I'm going to play a trick on you." And so they were trying to manage, the pranksterism. But you come full circle today. Man, the day is as big of a holiday for adults as it is for kids. In fact, sometimes I think adults are more into it than kids. And adults aren't into the candy as much as they are dressing up.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy, but I don't like what the day has come to represent. Let's put to rest. I've heard well-meaning people say, well, you know, Halloween is Satan's birthday. Give me a break. You know, give me a chapter and a verse on that one. It's the same thing to have a birthday. Yes, it is one of the eight high holy days on the satanic calendar, the Wiccan calendar, the occultic calendar, but there's seven other days as well. So I think we've got to get things in perspective, and my Bible says that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, you know, the Psalms. So I say we don't have to give up the day. I don't see the need, and I respect anybody who feels this way, but I take a different position. I don't see the need to go and hide in your basement someplace, you know, turn off all the lights and wait until this day passes. I say I'm an evangelist. Let's take the day back. It's a great opportunity to turn the light on and talk about who Jesus is.
Well, usually the light shines the brightest when the day is the darkest, and that certainly can be true with Halloween. Now, in your book, Fear No Evil, you cover a lot of ground when you talk about the various forms of evil that we see in today's culture and society. I mean, you cover everything from what we see in the media, music, movies, video games, and TV, all that, even to Wicca, witchcraft, the occult, paganism. I mean, you cover a lot of ground in this book. Why don't you narrow it down for everyone? What do you think are the top allures for evil when it comes to teenagers and college students? What are the top ways that today's teenagers and college students are being drawn towards evil?
Yeah, I want to be careful that I don't rank these necessarily. They're
right.
Like 1, 2, 3. But let me give you a couple of the top ones. One would be horror flicks. The most popular genre of movies, you know, whether it's a DVD or in the theater, whatever, is a horror flick with high school students, college students. That's one of those where I think we become desensitized to it. You go into a theater and you see just some amazing special effects, this gore and blood and guts, and you walk out going, okay, that was surreal, but there probably isn't much to it. And then I would have to rank up at the top the internet. I want to clarify this here with our listeners. I'm not saying, hey, the internet's bad or movies are bad. I mean, some of it's good, some of it's not so good. You know, it's a tool. Depends on how you use that tool. It's like a knife. I mean, a knife you can, you know, slice and dice veggies and meat and, you know, make a salad or a steak or whatever. And you can also cause some serious bodily harm to people.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to keep that perspective. But the internet's right up at the top. I had a chance to interview, a guy who called himself a Wiccan witch. In fact, his name is, he goes by Ed the Pagan. And, you know, this guy has a school. Yeah, can you believe that?
Really? Ed the Pagan? That's what he came up with?
Yeah, Ed the Pagan.
Okay.
And, you know, he's a very nice guy when you talk to him. And at first he would not allow me to interview him. He was not interested, I guess, because he gets a lot of, pastors and rightfully so that are saying, hey, man, you need some serious help, pal. You know, you need to know Jesus. The interesting thing is this guy comes from a Southern Baptist background.
Hmm.
And as a teenager, he said, hey, I did the mission stuff, I did all this stuff, Steve, but he said, I couldn't find the answers I was looking for.
Hmm.
And he said, I said, well, you bailed on the church then. He goes, no, dude. He says, I bailed on God and the church. And he said, when I was in my late 20s, I met this other guy who's a warlock or a witch or something, I can't remember off the top of my head. And he says, he enlightened me, and they started a school of Wicca in the Midwest. And going back here to the internet, you know, they've got over 160,000 people taking online classes from them.
Yeah, I was reading that in your book, and I thought some of the classes were, I don't know, some of them sounded kind of weird, you know, like spell casting and divination and all the stuff that's listed, you know, in Deuteronomy and stuff in the Bible. It says, yeah, don't do that. And then there's people going online to take classes in it. And to me, it almost sounds surreal. It sounds like, okay, so now Hogwarts is actually doing classes over the internet.
Yeah. No, it really does seem surreal. And I don't know if I talked about it in this book or the Wicca book. I can't remember. But when I was doing research on Wicca, I ended up in this shop in Santa Cruz, California, Northern California. And the shop's called 13. And I'm telling you, Hogwarts School, Harry Potter, everything came alive. This stuff was for real. This wasn't trinket stuff. You know, this wasn't just some merch. I mean, this was the real deal. I mean, they had the real daggers. It was the real Harry Potter stuff. Mm. And I'm going, man, there are people that believe this. There are people that use this. There are people that practice this. So, go back to your question. I'd say stuff like DVDs, the internet, certainly, movies and books. I think I am not against fiction at all. I'm starting my first fiction book now, but I think when we get to things like Harry Potter, we've got to really ask ourselves, what is it that we're reading? Because what it's really doing, in my opinion, is desensitizing us to witchcraft and Wicca and the occult, creating in us a deeper curiosity for it, and quite possibly becoming almost like a gateway drug, like marijuana is a gateway drug, almost like a gateway into the world of the occult, because you begin to taste it and you say, I wonder if there's any reality to this.
Hmm. Now, what was your take, just to get off topic just a little bit, what was your take on all the hoopla around the final book of Harry Potter and how a lot of people were heralding it as the big reveal that Harry Potter is actually a Christian allegory?
I've got a hard time, with that. Let's just start with the fact that it's about, a guy who's going to a school of wizardry and witchcraft. And I think we can begin to find allegories in a lot of different situations, but that's awfully dark. J.K. Rowling said early on in her career that the books were going to get darker, they were going to get more vile. She said she was in an interview that she was writing based on childhood experience. Well, she's not writing based on going to Sunday school, that's for sure. And it's, again, people say, well, you're against fiction, and then I hear the thing, well, hey, kids are reading, dude. I mean, come on, as long as they're reading, well, that's like saying, hey, somebody's drinking poison, but they're still drinking water, some liquid. No. I think we have to be very careful of that. And I've heard J.K. Rowling recently say that she believes in God. Well, so do the demons. And I just think we have to be careful. I think there's healthier things we could read, and I think it's a far stretch to find, Jesus in Harry Potter.
Now, I thought it was really interesting that in your book, one of the things that you address are, ghosts and vampires and all this stuff that we read about in fictional type settings, witches. Not everyone believes that witches are real or that vampires are real or ghosts are real. Not too long ago, I did a show with Ron Rhodes about ghosts and the paranormal. It was absolutely fascinating. And last week, when we were talking about Halloween, the subject came up of Christians knowing who they are in Christ and that they're protected because the Holy Spirit lives in them. Well, one of the things that they could do on Halloween is go out and go do some ghost busting, basically. Go out and do some ghost hunting. Okay, let's clarify this. Are ghosts, vampires, and all this other stuff, are they real? And if so, what sort of involvement should Christians have in combating them?
Well, I think if we're seeing ghosts, first of all, angels can appear in many different forms. There are some that would like to say, well, ghosts are angels. Are they? Are they truly angels? Is God going to contradict himself? We talk about ghosts being real, and like you mentioned in the book, and I think I even use the example about the haunted mansion at Disneyland, and
right.
How you're going through the ride, and there's a ghost there. Now let's come full circle to what God's Word has to say, and I think at one part I talk about Matthew 14, where it talks about somebody at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came toward them walking on the water, and the disciples saw him, and they were terrified, crying out, "Oh, it's a ghost!" But it wasn't a ghost; it was Jesus. Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid." So I think that's a key factor. If it is a spiritual being that God has sent, say the form of an angel, it's not going to be something that frightens us.
Hmm.
Now, demons, I believe, can make an appearance. They can, what we may be seeing, if we truly are seeing a ghost, is demonic activity rather than some kind of an activity where God is, you know, God can, I think we try to limit God too many times in too many ways. And God can do what he wants to do and how he wants to do. So we've got to be careful when we delve too far in the spirit world. Now, you said that, you know, I think you mentioned a couple minutes ago that people going dressed up as ghosts or more specifically, I think you were talking about demon busting and,
right.
and kind of like Ghostbusters, you know.
Right.
I no place in God's word do I see that we're called to do that.
Hmm.
You know, it's interesting. It's what I read over and over again is standing firm. I like James 4:7 where it says, you know, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Right.
It doesn't say go out and become a demon buster. It doesn't. We don't have the power. I mean, we honestly, we're going to get our rear ends kicked if we decide to do that because we don't have that power. It's only the power of the living God that enables us to stand firm in this spiritual battle. I believe Satan can certainly use, look at the new show that's on primetime television about a vampire.
Right. What is that one called? Like Moonlight or something?
I think that's what it is, you know,
yeah.
and it's kind of an appealing thing. Once again, going back to what you said earlier in the show, there's kind of that intrigue, and you say, man, I got to check that out.
Plus, the vampire's a good guy in the show, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy, but yet, you know, he's a vampire, okay?
Yeah.
So we've got to come back and use that through not a Christian worldview, but use the filter of a biblical worldview and say, okay, what does God really say about this? And that's why, you know, I wanted to explore some of these things in the book because I thought people have questions, you know, especially students who were, you know, you see this in whether it's the media, you know, whether it's a video game, whether it happens to be a comic book. There's just so much of it, television, that I think it deserves answers. And that's where I, that's why we put the chapter in the book.
And then they have this other show, Phenomenon, you know, where they have Yuri
yeah.
Geller and Chris Angel looking for the next person who's got all kinds of special powers. And actually leading up to this conversation, I thought that the timing of the release of that show was very interesting because, you know, here it is, the month of October. We're all fascinated by the paranormal and evil and, you know, what might else be out there. And then the show is starting up. And what's your take on a show like Phenomenon? I mean, what kind of impact will that have on our society? And I'll even admit, you know, watching the promos, I'm curious about that. Not that I ever really want to watch, but still, there is that kind of lure there. It's like, come on, for real? Maybe I'll just check it out just to see if it's for real.
You used I think the great word is lure. Last night we had a big event for students here in the East Valley outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And a good friend of ours was with us. He's with us on a lot of our events, named Danny Ray, who's an amazing illusionist. And actually the guy that is building some of the illusion tricks, I don't think that's the right word, but for Chris Angel is doing it for Danny Ray.
Hmm.
The guy that comes with us, and he did some amazing things last night at our event, but he also explains that it's all about illusion.
Mm.
You know, and then he starts making some spiritual application to it. But you think about shows like Phenomenon, I'm honestly curious, part of me says, to see what this show's going to be like.
Right.
To see what they're going to do. I mean, having worked with a guy like Danny Ray, when I was still in the music industry, I actually played drums in a show for a guy named Steve Baker. They called it the Impossible Possible, Mr. Steve Baker. And I'll tell you, I saw him do some amazing things. And some of them he would do right in front of my drum kit on the stage. And to this day, I still couldn't tell you how he did them.
Wow.
But it's all sleight of hand. But I think that's a great great analogy for the enemy.
Right.
Because he operates so much of the time sleight of hand. He lures us in. I love that word you used. And he seduces us in. And you've got shows like Phenomena. You've got shows like Supernatural, which I believe is still on. I think this is the second or third season.
I think it's their third season that they're getting ready to start, yeah.
And it. I don't know if you ever... Going back a couple of years, if you saw the opening pilot of that show, but in the first 15 minutes, I don't think I've ever seen as much occultic violence on primetime TV. It was just, it was incredible. I mean, one of the opening scenes, here's this little baby crying. A mom walks in to check on her baby. She gets, you know, sucked to the ceiling and impaled by this spiritual apparition, and there's her blood is dripping on the baby when the dad comes in to check on what's going on because he hears this noise. I mean, boom, that's opening few minutes of the show. Next couple of minutes, there's a young guy driving down the road, sees this late at night, you know, isolated road, sees this gorgeous woman on the side of the street, so, you know, needing a ride, and he's going, oh, you know, this is my day. You know, I mean, my dream has come true. You know, he invites her in the car. They drive down a little ways, and the next thing you see, I mean, his, you know, he's got corpuscles on the ceiling of the car and the front windshield because she's a demon, and she just basically obliterates this guy. And this is in the first 15 minutes.
Yucky.
So, you know, you see the desensitization, but you also see the intrigue. You see the seduction. You see the lure. And I think we have to guard ourselves. I don't think we have to isolate ourselves. That's not what I believe the Bible says. The Bible says avoid evil. But living in the culture in which we live, what does that really mean? Don't get seduced. Don't get lured in. Be aware that evil is there. Be aware that there's this occultic violence. Be aware of it. Why and how? Well, through a biblical worldview that enables you to say, okay, I know what that is, and I'm going to resist that.
Now, how much do you think, especially in our Western society, we're very modern, very high-tech, very rational, you know, very intellectual, how much of that plays into our fascination of evil? Like I said, you know, one of the things that gets me curious very often is just that thought, come on, is that for real? I got to know if that's for real. There's no way that's for real. You can't explain it rationally. How could that be? How much does that play into the fascination with evil, and how does that draw people down a path that maybe they can't recover from?
Well, in this culture, we don't think rationally anymore, especially this generation. This is the whatever generation. This is the experiential generation. This is the generation that has said there are no moral absolutes. It's all about experience, and truth is relative. So if you just step back and try to think logically and rationally about that, you say, wait a minute, we're setting ourselves up for a very slippery, dangerous path when we no longer believe in moral absolutes and when everything is about experience. You begin to see again how we become so much more susceptible to being lured by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about experience. And I think one of the key factors that concerned adults and parents and grandparents and youth pastors and what we need to be able to do with students today is be able to help them start thinking, not just feeling. And because they live so much by feeling, you can see how they're easily seduced into the darkness. You know, and some students say, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm not out there, you know, burning herbs and spices, and I don't have a, you know, an altar to Satan. Well, are you serving the living God? Are you living your life for and like him? Or who's having the greater influence on your thinking?
Right. I think the only time I've burnt herbs and spices is when I try to cook. Well, we're talking with Steve Russo, author of the book Fear No Evil. And let me just say, this is a good opportunity to get some questions answered. You know, very often after we do a raw talk on subjects like what we're talking about tonight, I get a lot of emails the next day asking me questions. Well, that doesn't do me any good. I'm not Steve Russo. I'm not going to be able to answer your questions very well if you hang on to them till tomorrow. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. We've already covered a lot of territory that I'm sure have sparked some questions in your mind. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. I know the World Series is on, but tear yourself away for just a moment and ask those questions, because there's probably never a better opportunity to get those questions answered. 505-338-5790 as we talk with Steve Russo about his book, Fear No Evil, the Everyday Evil That We Face in Today's Society and Culture. And, you know, Steve, one of the reasons I do the show Raw Talk is because of that exact same desire to get people to think, to know why they believe what they believe. And I agree that there's never been a time that it's more crucial for people to know that than in the society and culture that we live in now. People need to know not just what they believe, but why they believe it, especially for high school students going off to college, because that's usually when the slope starts getting really slippery.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I let me tell you a quick story of an experience I had, because I speak on a lot of public school campuses here in Arizona. This last week, I was on just a number of high school campuses. I go on with my drums and, you know, play to a drum loop, or in a couple cases, we actually had the drum line from the high schools come and open with me, which was just totally fun.
Cool.
I mean, it was
yeah.
awesome. Oh, it was very cool. But I talk about choices, and I was at one school, not this week, but on a different tour, and had three high school students, two girls and a guy, come up to me after the assembly. And I briefly, I mean, just barely mention Wicca in the presentation. And I had these kids come up afterwards. They said, "Hey, Russo, you know, we like the drums, like your talk, but we want you to know that we used to be Christians, but we're Wiccans now."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know whether they expected me to hold up a cross, you know, or what, to frighten them away or frighten me away. But I started asking them. I said, "Okay, well, what's the deal? Tell me, why did you bail on the church?" And here's what got to me. They said, "Steve, we went to church. We couldn't find anybody who could tell us what they believed, why they believed it. And they were all living powerless lives."
Oh, that's sad.
So, you know, there it is right there. And I appreciate what you're doing with this program, because we've got to start thinking. We've got to start helping this generation connect the dots so that they see what is out there. They see the reality of a spiritual battle, that they begin to understand that God is real, but so is Satan, but to understand that we can have victory in the midst of this battle.
Well, we have Corey on the line, and Corey, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say this evening, Corey?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm a Harry Potter fan, and I also like Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. That's all make-believe, but, I mean, where are we supposed to draw the line? Because in these stories, the underlying thing is good against evil, and even in Harry Potter, there are good witches and bad witches, and just like there is even in The Wizard of Oz. And, I mean, I plan on reading Harry Potter to my kids someday, but I got to make sure that they know that it's just your imagination and it's just make-believe and fairy tales. And I guess I don't really see the harm in that, as long as they know what is truth and what is, you know, not real. Even though we are talking about, you know, witches being real, but like I said, you know, Harry Potter is still about good versus evil.
Corey, that's a good question, and I hear this so often. But if you really step back and look at Harry Potter is he's more of an anti-hero, in the sense of there's a blurring between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. You don't see Harry Potter at all looking to anybody outside of himself. You see him utilizing things like spells and other things like this. And again, it has nothing to do with fantasy. It has everything to do with being able to use your mind, use your imagination. I think we do. I like your idea about being able to help kids understand what, you know, your children, what is truth and what isn't truth. But it seems to me, when you look at some of the other fiction that you mentioned, there is a much clearer delineation between what is right and wrong and what is good and what is evil than the blurring in Harry Potter.
But what about, like, Tolkien and Lord of the Rings? Because that's still, you know, Gandalf is a wizard and he uses magic and spells, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really look to anyone else either. And Tolkien was a Christian.
Right, but again, I think if you look at Tolkien, how he has written it, there isn't this blurring between good and evil. And it's if you look at Isaiah chapter 5, right around verse 20 and following, and use that as a filter, I think that might make it a little bit more clear to you. You know, I feel like we need to stay away from stuff that is so clearly, blatantly, all about witchcraft, you know, all about occultic practices, versus having something that is heading in a different direction. I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Hey, Corey, appreciate your call, and don't want to turn it into a Harry Potter debate tonight because we've done that before. So thank you so much for bringing that up, and hope you have a great evening, all right?
Thanks.
All right. Take care, Corey. All right, next we have Hugh on the line. And, again, we have Steve Russo joining us this evening. And this is a great opportunity to get your questions answered about the occult, paganism, evil going on in today's society. You got questions. This is a guy who had a show called Real Answers. So, obviously, he loves to answer questions. Give us a call, 505-338-5790. We've already covered a lot of territory this evening. And if that's stirred up a question that you'd like to get answered, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We have Hugh on the line. Hugh, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Thank you. I don't think it's so much a question as it is a statement. I know that I retired out of the military, and before that, in one particular battle that I went through, that I had a religious experience during the battle, I guess you would say a vision, and when talking to friends of mine concerning this and bringing up about how this happened, I came to realize that about 90% of the people that I talked to had experienced the same thing. And what it did is it gave us, it was a vision from the Archangel Michael, and it was a very calming type thing where he actually lifted our spirits up because as you go into battle, there are certain uncertain things that are going to happen and you don't know, and you always question whether or not you're doing the right thing or not. So I can tell you that since that experience, that my whole life has changed, and that you know, as far as believing in demons and so forth, I know there's evil out there because I've experienced it, and it just takes us to fight it. That's all.
Well, thanks for that comment, Hugh. We certainly appreciate you adding to tonight's conversation.
Thanks, Hugh.
Yeah, have a good evening. 505-338-5790. If you got a question for Steve Russo, this is a guy to ask those questions. If you got a question about Halloween, if you got a question about Wicca, if you got a question about vampires, or you know, whatever your question may be, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, Steve, you were talking earlier about the idea of, well, we see everyday evil all around us. The Bible tells us over and over again, you know, in 3 John, do not imitate evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, avoid evil. Over and over again, this exhortation not to have anything to do with it, but to really live up to what those verses are asking us to, we'd have to completely separate ourselves from society. And we know that's not possible. So then the question then becomes, well, how do we obey the Bible when we live in this world?
Great question. You know, and when you find the answer, would you let me know?
I will. Well, you know, I got your phone number. I'll give you a call.
Please. No, it is a difficult thing because I think it, you know, if we were to take those words literally, then does that mean we go hide someplace, we go buy an island someplace, we go to another planet someplace? The problem is, no matter where we would run, evil would follow us because of flesh, because of sin. And even though we have given our lives to Christ, we have decided to live our life for and like Jesus, we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Bible's very clear, there's going to be that tension, that battle, even within us, because a spiritual battle is fought on many, on several different fronts. One, obviously, is against the principalities and powers of darkness. And, of course, one is against another one would be against our own flesh, that part of, you know, our human nature, so to speak, that human part of us, that flesh part of us that still wars against the spirit. And that's where we've got to rely on and be in a mode where we're saying, I want to obey God. So coming full circle, okay, we've got evil all around us. What do we do? Well, we have got to become men and women of the book first. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have today. It's interesting because I get in these Harry Potter debates a lot, and I don't hear people arguing as strongly for being in the Word as they do justifying, I can read Harry Potter and it's not going to affect me. And I don't mean that to be demeaning, disrespectful in any stretch of imagination. I really don't. But I think we need to wrestle with that. Would we be willing to give up something like Harry Potter or a video game or a DVD because we feel like there is so much evil influence there that we're giving, I believe it's Ephesians 4, where we read about not giving the devil a foothold.
Right.
And, you know, something we haven't talked about yet on the show is where this spiritual battle is going to be won or lost. I am convinced, first of all, the number one target is young people of Satan, because he knows what we ought to know, that students are not just the present, or not just the future, they're the present. And I'm convinced more and more, oftentimes, how students go is how the family's going to go, because so much, you know, time and energy and resources are spent there. But we not only need to understand that, we need to understand that the battle, the spiritual battle, is a battle for truth. And it's about truth. It's not a battle of power, because we don't have the power within us. So that's where that battle, Jesus said, when you know the truth in John 8, the truth is going to set you free. So it's a battle that's raging really between our ears for our mind and our emotion. So we have got to ask ourselves on a daily basis, who's having the greater impact on our thinking? Is it the world? Is it the Word of God? Do I have a strong enough, broad enough, deep enough biblical worldview so that as I come in contact with evil, which we are, like you said, we face it, we're going to find, I mean, we could be, you know, on a very innocent website and boom, there's a pop-up. We're going, where in the world did that come from?
Yeah.
Wasn't something we went looking for, you know? So we have got to become such men and women of the book that this biblical worldview becomes our filter where everything else goes through it. So this evil, in a sense you could say, gets stopped before it can establish, before Satan can use it as a foothold in our minds and our emotions.
Well, that's great advice, and actually gets me excited for going home and doing some Bible study. So we're going to end the program early. Good night, everyone. Just kidding. We're going to do it. We have George on the line. George, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say tonight, George?
Yeah, good evening. Well, when I was in college, I had a friend that was, he studied the different religions and finally, ultimately, became Christian and decided to become a Baptist preacher. And then I lost contact with him, and years later, I ran into him, and he'd gone into the military and was a captain in the Army and got kicked out for becoming schizophrenic. And come to find that he had walked away from his religion, and I guess a girlfriend got him into lighting black candles and into studying the occult, and it just consumed him. And he no longer understood the power of God, and, you know, just seemed to have developed, you know, a variety of different personalities. And his life was obviously in a wreck. But it just started from the curiosity, you know, brought on by an association with a girlfriend. And I would have never thought that you would see someone go from that extreme, you know, from one extreme to such a wrong extreme. But it happened.
Yeah, and you even addressed some similar situations in your book, Steve. And one of the questions that kept coming up to me was, well, how could this ever happen to a Christian?
Interesting, because, George, I appreciate what you're saying. And, by the way, before I jump back to answering your question, you know, let me just say that, George, you used a key word that I think is really important we talk about right here, and that's religion. Because I think that's part of the problem that we see, and certainly only God knows our hearts. But in a situation like with this friend of yours describing, maybe the issue was he was involved in religion, but he didn't have a relationship with the living God. And, you know, that's what's huge, and that's what I'm all about as an evangelist. I want to introduce people, I want to influence people to establish a relationship with the living God, where they decide to live their lives for and like Jesus. Because religion is a man-made, you know, idea. When we're talking about a relationship with the living God, it's totally different, and it has and it should have the potential to consume us. So when we think about things in terms of this, and you're asking, how could stuff like this happen to a Christian? I'm conservative in my theology, you know, my educational background and so on. I do not believe that a Christian can be possessed, that someone who is a follower of Christ, who has the Spirit of the living God living in them, can be possessed by a demon but I do believe they can be oppressed. Hmm. And there is a difference.
Well, I would say that he was at the point that I last lost contact with him, he was on his way to becoming a Baptist preacher. He had gone to church, and, you know, after studying the various religions in college, he became, you know, his goal was to be a Baptist preacher. I felt like at the time he was definitely saved. So I found it to be very, you know, disturbing to hear that sure. he had, you know, gone that other way. But, you know, it's always been kind of an enigma to me and hard for me to understand. You know, other than maybe he was perhaps into that before he was saved, so maybe he already had, you know, an element of it in him. I don't understand.
Well, and you know, George, maybe, in fact, he 'cause we've experienced this. You know, I've had the privilege of traveling with the Billy Graham Association for many years and working, you know, amidst their ministry and our own ministry. And we have seen pastors and pastors' wives and elders and deacons of churches actually come to commit their life to Christ and admit that to them it was basically word only. It was just these things they were doing, but the heart condition was not there. And I don't know, you know, again, I in no way do I ever want to come close to judging somebody. Only God truly knows our heart. But I would suspect that maybe this friend, one of two things, either they truly do know Christ and they are so oppressed because they've gotten so deep into, you know, thinking they can touch this fire without really getting burned, that it's either that case or it's the case that he never really truly knew Christ and found himself in this situation. But we cannot deny at all, and you're certainly, you know, supportive of this, you know, and what you're saying, the power of the forces of darkness, the power of the enemy himself.
Well, George, thanks so much for calling in. We got a couple other callers that we're going to try and get to before we get to the top of the hour. So thanks for calling in this evening, all right? All right, next up we have Vonda on the line. Vonda, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Vonda?
Hi, I was just wondering, along the lines of demon possession, I have some friends that are witches. I have a friend who's a Satan worshiper, and it's funny. I feel like God put me in his life for a reason, and he's going to turn. And, like, he used to go to Hope Christian, and for some reason God just keeps putting him in my life and just putting him there for me to pray for him. And I know that casting out demons is one of the gifts. But it doesn't seem like a gift I ever hear about in the church or, you know, I don't know anybody who's got that gift. I know people with lots of different gifts, and how would you know if you had that gift? And what would you do? Do you pray over them if you really believe they're demon-possessed? Like I hear about those school shooters going and shooting Christians, and I'm thinking, gosh, they must be demon-possessed. And, you know, I'd like to be able to do something or like to help my friends I don't know. And I guess if I did have that gift, maybe the Holy Spirit would tell me, but I thought maybe, I don't know. I'd just like to know more about the gift and demon possession.
Yeah. Vonda, I'm not sure that I could agree with you that is necessarily a gift. Okay. I don't see that listed in the gifts of the Spirit, but I would say this, I have been in situations before. I have witnessed people who, and you said the most important thing you could possibly say just a second ago, who have prayed in a situation and watched the Holy Spirit work. I want to encourage you, we mentioned this earlier in the show, don't go looking for these opportunities. Trust me, if God wants to use you in that situation, he will bring, you know, he will put you at the right time in the right place with the right person where then the Holy Spirit will work through you. But I think we put ourselves in spiritual danger when we desire to go and look for it. That's when we basically kind of put a bullseye on our back and say, okay, Satan's saying, hey, I'm going after this person because they're looking for it, where God is saying, trust me, walk in my spirit, walk in my light, and as you do so, as you become a woman of the Word of God, as you become a man of the Word of God, you're going to come across these situations, and you're going to come across these people like you're already praying for right now. Let the Spirit of God do the work. Just be faithful and be obedient as you see the Spirit directing you.
Does that help you out a little bit, Vonda?
Yeah, but just like in the Old Testament, it was like they were casting out spirits left and right. And, you know, they just knew, boom, that person's filled with a demon. And, you know, and that one guy filled with the thousands of demons. And, you know, they just know. And these days it doesn't seem like people just know, or I don't know.
Well, Vonda, did you notice, though, something, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, they weren't going out looking for it. You know, and that's I think, where we put ourselves in spiritual danger. Just, you know, God wants us, you know, John 15:5, you know, you can do nothing apart from me. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God wants us to be faithful, to be obedient, and trust and rely upon him. But when we start looking for it, no place do I find a biblical imperative that says we are to be demon busters, that we are to be looking for demons to cast out. And I hear well-meaning Christians say that, but there's no biblical support to be out looking for it. God will bring it to you if he chooses to, and he will use you. I think oftentimes the most unlikely people he will use in a situation like that.
Vonda, we still got a couple other people that we're going to try and squeeze in before the top of the hour. So thanks so much for calling in tonight, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening, Vonda. Next up, we have John. John, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say this evening, John?
All right. I just wanted to go and reiterate some of the stuff you were saying. There's a verse in Romans that kind of just goes and says the exact same thing about this. Romans 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind,
mm-hmm.
that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's a good verse. One of my all-time favorites.
Yep. And, you know, John, let's add to that one that I shared earlier in the show. One of my favorites in with this topic is James 4:7. That says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But notice the progression. It doesn't say go out looking for this battle. It says resist, submit, resist, and then flee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a critical thing. We've got to submit first, you know, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute to our commander-in-chief. Why? So that the forces of darkness, we can resist them and they will flee from us. But notice it doesn't say they aren't going to come back. They're going to. And that's why it's a continual battle while we're in this fleshly body.
Hey, John, thanks for sharing that verse this evening. Appreciate you calling in and sharing that, all right?
Well, it is.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Great verse.
And one last caller this evening before we wrap things up. We have Augie on the line. Augie, we're just about out of time. So real quick, what do you have to say there, Augie?
Well, it's amazing. I was thinking of the same verse in Romans. It just 12:2 says that we should not be conformed to the likeness of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I know that I was in the world for a long time, and you know it's easy to get rooted in that way of thinking. And when you do come to the Lord, you have to stay diligent and stay in the Word and just do what you can to renew your mind on a continual basis. And it seems like you know, even as a Christian, when you're out there, whether you're witnessing or you're working, you know, people do have influences, and in encountering that. You know, in order to maintain that balance, it seems like you have to be in the Word twice, if not three times more than you were before you encountered a certain situation.
Mm-hmm. It's an everyday battle, isn't it, Augie?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, Augie, thank you so much for your comments
Thanks,
and your encouragement tonight. You have a great evening, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Well, Steve Russo joining us tonight here on Raw Talk. We got about 5 minutes left, Steve. So what sort of parting thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners when it comes to this idea of, hey, we live in an evil world. Here's what we should do about it.
I don't have some profound words. I may disappoint some listeners, you know, but to me, it all comes back to the basics, and it's something we all wrestle with. We've got to have quality time alone with the living God. We need to take that time in prayer, and that means listening as well. We need to have the time studying. Not just reading, but studying God's word and then applying it to our lives and developing that biblical worldview. Because once again, as we are being lured potentially by evil, being seduced, as we fight the daily battle, we best be prepared. And you know, there's no better way than looking at Ephesians 6. And the armor of God, the battle gear of God. And I think that's one of the problems that we as followers of Christ struggle with today is we're out in the spiritual battle basically buck naked spiritually because we don't have our battle gear on. I don't know if you can say that on the radio. I guess I just did.
Well, you just did, so it's too late.
It's too late now. But, you know, we've got to get that battle gear on, you know, and God has given us the belt of truth. He's given us the, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the helmet of salvation. You know, he's given us the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, all pieces of gear, all equipment, all part of the armor. Why? To enable us to stand firm in the spiritual battle and to be able to resist the devil and the forces of darkness. And that's what it really comes down to. And it's, I know that I need more. I appreciated what our last caller, Augie, just said, you know, being in the Word more. I need to be in the Word more. And, you know, personally, I would hope that my book would be a just something that kind of comes alongside somebody's study of the Word, because I would not want someone to read one of my books and give it more credence, more weight than what God's word actually says.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to these different issues we've discussed tonight, you know, people calling in and just, you know, I appreciate it because they're wanting to wrestle with some of these things. Let's go to God's word and see what does God really say about it. Not what does Steve say, but what does God's word say?
Well, you know, like you said, we've covered a whole lot of territory this evening, and it's kind of funny because I think maybe God's trying to get my attention so far as this idea of spending more time in the Word, because our pastor was talking about that this morning, about having a devotional time, and the pastor, we go to two different churches depending on how far we feel like driving. our other pastor's been talking a lot about, you know, the importance of meditation, meditating on God's word, you know, and what it means to have a quality prayer time. And then all the stuff we've gone over tonight, I think it's time for me to take notes. So if nothing else, this evening's conversation certainly reinforced some convictions in my heart. So I appreciate your time tonight. Steve, why don't you tell everyone, is there some place where they could contact you if they have more questions that they'd like to email you? Is there some place they can do that?
Absolutely. We have a website. It's realanswers.com. Kind of goes along with our radio program.
Mm-hmm.
That's R-E-A-L, answers, plural, .com. And, of course, on there, people could send me an email if they want to get in touch and, you know, ask something and make a comment or whatever. They can also get a hold of some of our books like Fear No Evil. You mentioned the Wicca book. We've got a store online there. So that's the resource, though, realanswers.com.
All right. And speaking of your book, Fear No Evil, which just came out, I do have some copies of that. So listen tomorrow morning on the M88 Morning Show with Yale, and I'll be giving away copies of Steve's book to people who would like to have it. So we'll be doing that tomorrow morning on the Morning Show with Yo. Steve Russo, thank you so much for your time. It's been a big blessing to chat with you tonight. I wish we had more time. I mean, this hour just flew by, and I feel like we just sort of skimmed the surface of a lot of real important issues. So,
hey, well, Yo, thank you. And we'll have to do this again sometime. I hope we can get together and have a conversation on the air again, because this was great. The time did just fly by, and I'll just look forward to that.
Yeah, I think we should definitely make plans to do that. Hang on, I got a question for you I want to ask you here right after I wrap things up, all right?
All right, cool.
All right, Steve Russo joining us tonight. Again, author of Fear No Evil, an evangelist, an apologist, all around great guy. Oh, yeah. And we appreciate his time this evening. This evening, I just want to part with you this verse, Psalm 56, starting in verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. It's good advice. You know, I like how it mentions a lot of the things that we talked about tonight. We talked about God's word, and it's God's word that I praise. It's God in whom I trust. It's God, because of God, that I cannot be afraid. There's a lot of scary things in today's world, but hopefully as we've gone through a lot of the stuff that we've covered so far this evening, you've seen that there's no reason for us to be afraid as long as we stand firm in the presence of Almighty God, and that's been made possible for us to do because of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're living a life of fear, of uncertainty, of lack of purpose, all of that can change. When you come to the cross, when you come to Jesus Christ, he will change your life around, give it purpose and meaning, and you can live without fear because of Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. It's one of the other things we pointed out tonight. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. And I know we don't like hearing that, but it's the truth. And hey, if someone else is offering to do the work for you, why wouldn't you accept that? We like to do that in just about every other aspect of our lives. Why not your spiritual life? And that's the one that really matters anyway. So I hope that tonight's conversation with Steve Russo has made a difference. Again, if you'd like to talk about this more, if you got some more questions or other things that you'd like to discuss, you can email us, studio@m88.org, especially if you're thinking maybe it's time for a change, maybe it's time to come to Christ. Definitely email us on that, or email Steve Russo, realanswers.com, and we appreciate him joining us this evening. Next week, sure to be an interesting conversation as we talk about the emotionally destructive relationship. It's not something that we like to talk about, but it even happens in the church. And we're going to take a look at that and look at how we as the church can come alongside people and help heal people who have gone through that or are going through that. So that'll be next week on Raw Talk. Thanks again, everyone, for calling in. As always, you guys had some great comments and great encouragement as we went through this evening's conversation. And that's going to wrap things up for this week's Raw Talk here on M88.